This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies. Call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. And by Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday, the first Saturday in August. And believe it or not, 4 weeks from today, high school football scores from week one.
Yeah. Yes, it's that close.
Whoa.
You can almost smell it.
Yes, you really can.
You really can.
And it's think about close. The difference for the kids out there getting ready for the season this year with the weather compared to what they were dealing with last year. I mean, this is a coach's, and maybe more importantly, a trainer's dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the comfort level much more tolerable this year than it was with the extreme hot, dry conditions last year. It was just miserable last year.
I could get used to this.
Oh, yeah. This is not bad. This is not bad. Yeah, crops looking awful nice, aren't they?
Oh, boy. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're looking good. Looking good.
Well, you know, football, and of course, the start of the school season means not only football, but you have the various other activities underway. And of course, the kids get back and you know, try to get back in the routine of things. But, you know, in the world of sports this week, the big talk has been the biogenesis situation and how that's going to shake out, who's going to be suspended, how long, yada, yada, yada. It's a mess.
It's a mess. And I guess it sounds like maybe the mess could be cleaned up a little bit coming Monday. Supposedly that's when Major League Baseball is going to make some announcements, so they say, on some suspensions. But old Alex Rodriguez has himself in that proverbial creek, and there's not water in it.
Could he be the Richard Nixon of sports?
Well, that's interesting. You know, when you factor in what he supposedly did with trying to buy evidence from Biogenesis to keep it out of the hands of Major League Baseball, A-Rod's case really goes beyond just, I hesitate to say, simple PED use.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
he's gotten more involved. I mean, he's got actual legal issues here, obstruction of justice, those types of things. And that might ultimately be what baseball really has on him, that they can really dangle in front of him, say, you're going to do what we tell you to do and you're not going to appeal it. Otherwise, we are going to ban you for life because we don't care anymore.
Does he get the life sentence? Does he get banned for life?
We'll find out Monday.
We'll find out Monday. I mean, if you would have said something like that 6 months ago, 4 months ago, maybe even 2 months ago, it would have been like, I don't know. I can't see it happening. But Bud Selig could have invoked this best interest of baseball clause at any point during his tenure as commissioner. He had a lot of opportunities where people said, why didn't he do it? And he never even wanted to bring up the subject. But he's actually opened that door and entertained that thought. So the fact that Bud Selig in the commissioner's office has even allowed that conversation to take place and continue to go on, it tells me that they are really considering banning him for life.
2 points that I'd like to bring out. Number one, the Players Association, the union, is demanding that the sport gets cleaned up. Something you'd never heard before.
That's the biggest change.
That's the
from
biggest
now
change
in the late 90s.
Yes, absolutely. They want this thing cleaned up. Union leaders want it cleaned up. The membership wants it cleaned up. They want baseball clean. Number two, is it possible that A-Rod may get suspended for life? Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because Bud Selig knows that the Yankees don't want to pay this guy, and the Yankees are the biggest revenue generator in Major League Baseball, and they want to keep management happy. It's extremely possible A-Rod gets banned for life, only based on M-O-N-E-Y.
And keeping
the people who hire you, because Bud Selig is hired by the owners, keeping them happy.
Yeah.
I think he might. I think the odds are better that he will get suspended for life, only because they want to keep the constituents happy.
And, of course, that's probably one of the main reasons Ryan Braun took the suspension.
Yeah.
He took get it over with. He's still got over $100 million coming on his contract, and now he's going to get every cent of that. And it sounds like the clean players, which I never understood why the union protected the small minority of the steroid-using player and basically left 98% percent say that's just a random number.
Well, but it just depends who you talk to. 50% right, of the people were on were using drugs at one time.
That's
so
right.
Never,
but a large percentage of the Major League Baseball player is clean. And for a number of years, the union provided no protection for them, no assistance for them. But that certainly has changed now, and that'll be the biggest difference, because you hear players saying now after all this, 50 games isn't enough.
Right.
So, I mean, they want tougher penalties, and there's going to be a certain segment of the players who say, hey, let's void these. If you get busted for steroids, your contract is voided. There's actually going to be a segment of the players that support that, and that would have been crazy to think about 10, 15 years ago.
You know, 15, 20 years ago, none of this information was in place. Some of it hadn't been discovered yet. Some of it hadn't been researched yet. It just wasn't in place. So it wasn't going to happen then. Because people say, baseball. Well, they're taking care of it now, okay? They're taking care of it now because they have information. They have ways of testing. And the membership of baseball, the union, says it's time to clean it up.
Remember, baseball... Everyone knows what baseball didn't do in the late 90s. The home run chase in 98 saved baseball. That's been talked about. That's pretty much historical fact at this point in time. But even if Bud Selig wanted to get steroids out of the game in 1999, after 98, he couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done it because the union wasn't going to allow it. So every time I hear now people talk about, well, baseball didn't do anything back then. They didn't. They couldn't and they didn't. They've accepted that.
Right.
They've realized it and they're moving on and they're trying to fix it now. So to me, it's irrelevant what they did or didn't do 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. If they were still doing nothing today, that would be a problem. Look at the NFL. They just try to basically pass it all off like it's no big deal. They're where baseball was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Baseball's moved forward. They've got blood testing.
You sound like Mark McGuire in front of Congress.
I'm not here to talk about the past, Terry. But at least I remember how to speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's basically the stance he took.
Exactly.
Let's forget about it. We've got to move forward.
He didn't lie.
He did not lie.
Didn't lie. Didn't forget how to speak the language.
That's true.
So
sweat a lot. But you know what?
At the time of that,
yeah.
He looked like the biggest
fool.
Doofus up there.
Yes.
You know, you get removed from it. You got the best legal advice out of all of them.
Yes, he did. Yes,
so
he
come
did.
Monday, how fast is this announcement going to happen? Is it going to be early morning? Is it going to be in the afternoon? Is it going to be?
Well, I don't think it makes any difference.
Probably whenever Bud rolls out of bed.
Bud will have to get a Starbucks first. Or, you know,
and depending
where's my coffee? Coffee!
Have to get his tie on this show. That tie's too straight. Crank that to the left a little bit. That's better.
Hey, your hair is too too cold. Yeah, let's mess that up a little bit.
You don't look like you've been up all night. And there is a possibility they said on radio this morning that the decision on A-Rod may not come as early as Monday, depending on what A-Rod says he's going to do. So
he had some comments last night. It doesn't sound like he's going to go quietly into the night.
Right. And, you know, from that standpoint, it's legal action is what he's going to be taking.
Right.
So, it might come to that. But, you know, A-Rod's not going to win on this thing.
No.
The best advice his lawyers could give him is say, hey, we need to, you know, cut our ties here. Let's shut everything down. Let's take our losses and get the heck out of Dodge and do what we can.
And go and count our money.
Yeah.
This thing has gone on for so long, and there's so many examples on both sides of it, how to handle it and how not to handle it. And it's amazing to me how many people continue to handle it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. You look at a guy like Andy Pettit, Jason Giambi, those are the two names that just come to my mind. They were big stars. You know, Giambi won an MVP. Pettit was, you know, probably the best pitcher on those championship teams for the Yankees all those years ago. They owned it. You know, they did what they did. They got caught. They didn't make excuses. They owned up to it, legitimately, sincerely apologized for it, and moved on. And look at them. They're both still playing baseball today. Look at the guys who defiantly lied. Impossible. I didn't do it. It's a witch hunt. The list is long. You got Clemens.
Yeah.
You got Bonds. You got Sosa. You got Palmeiro. You got so many guys who just refuse to own it. If you own it, people in America, we're forgiving people, but we're not stupid. You don't like to be lied to. And when you get lied to, you get angry.
That's why I said he's the Richard Nixon of baseball.
That's a pretty good comparison, I think, the more you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, didn't A-Rod have a press conference and said, you know what, I did it, and then comes back and he's still using it?
Yeah, but you're talking about that after he got busted a few years ago, he sat down and he owned it, but he didn't own it. I didn't really know what I was taking. Everybody else was doing it. It was the culture. That all may be true. Mm-hmm. Own it. Say you did it. I did it. I was wrong. I wanted to get an advantage. I want, you know, whatever it was. I needed to live up to the contract. I needed to stay on the field. Whatever. Own what you did.
There was a story a couple of weeks ago on AP about the World Doping Agency, which basically kind of sets the standard for checking on performance-enhancing drugs. And I think even baseball has gone beyond their standards, to be honest with you. But they were talking about how athletes are basically checked from time to time, maybe once every 50 games or so. They said, hey, this has to be done almost every day or every other day if you're going to get serious about it. You know, maybe that's the next step for baseball, that it would be more than maybe once or twice a year. Maybe it's a little more frequent. Maybe that's how you drive all this stuff, or at least most of it. I'm not sure you're ever going to get rid of all of it, let's be honest, because nothing's ever 100%. But you might drive most of it out if you had more frequent checks.
More frequent checks, and the fact that it's random, you add a stiffer penalty to it. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's 100 games, first offense, second offense, you're out.
Yeah.
With a random test that could come at any point,
yeah.
I mean, you're really going to have to think long and hard.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? And on top of it, if the contract gets voided, if you get busted.
Sure. That cleans it up as well.
That cleans it up. You take away the guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
That'll take it up. And it sounds like there could be maybe a little bit of movement. And a little bit of movement on an issue like that is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And cleaning up, you're probably right, Terry. They'll never get it 100%. It kind of gets back to the old syndrome. You build a better mousetrap, Mother Nature will build a smarter mouse.
Right.
And that's basically what it boils down to. There'll be guys that'll figure out ways to beat the system.
There will always be money in it for the people coming up with the drug to block the steroids.
You know, technology will find a way.
Right. It always does.
And it always does. You can think of any professional sport, if you will. They've been caught doping horses and horse racing. You know, football's got its problems, and all major sports, baseball.
What's the upside to this? I think the upside to this is saying to the kids of America, hey, don't be doing this stuff. Because, number one, it's going to kill you. This stuff is not good for your body. Stay the heck away from all this stuff. Now, it's not going to sink into every kid, but there's going to be a few of them saying, you know, this is probably not a good idea.
Who is more looked up to, reality, realistically? Who's more looked up to by our youth than professional athletes? You know, a baseball
rock stars.
Player. Rock stars.
Yeah, people like rock stars. Rock stars would be pretty cool.
Rock stars would be
cool. We do need to get to a break.
They're cool, all right.
On that, I don't know, Ralph, I believe A-Rod was quoted in Sports Illustrated saying he still wants to be a role model.
Yeah. And that's good.
Good for him.
Good for A-Rod.
I want a lot of things,
maybe
too.
Maybe he does.
I want to be a rock star. Yeah. We need a break. Back in just a moment.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Pork and by Beasley's Welding Shop in Carlinville. Cloudy skies for today. There is a slight chance of showers. Expect a high of around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. Expect a low of around 60. And for Sunday, sunny skies, expect the highs in the upper 70s. At 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 73 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky, and by Beasley's Welding Shop in Carlinville. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Tired of always having to clean up the basement or crawl space after a rain? You need to call Midwest Basement Tech for a permanent solution. If it's leaking, cracking, buckling, or sinking, Midwest Basement Tech is the company to call. 1-800-848-9805. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years with local service techs and free estimates. Call now, 1-800-848-9805, or on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com for money-saving coupons and your chance of receiving free tickets to watch your St. Louis Cardinals play at home this season.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:20, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Coming up tomorrow morning at 11:15, Cardinal Baseball from Cincinnati, the Redbirds and the Reds. 11:15 tomorrow morning on WSMI AM 1540. And to say it was an interesting week for the Cardinals would be a massive understatement. I guess, guys, that's why people like us who love baseball.
Sure.
Because that was the highs and the lows, or I should say the lows and the highs.
It was butt ugly.
I mean, you
was.
Go from not being ugly. Able to throw the ball in the ocean, so to speak, yeah. standing on the beach, to scoring 13 runs back-to-back games. Just amazing. But, and I think that's why it was so frustrating, yeah. that seven-game losing streak, because you know they're good.
Mm-hmm. And they couldn't score any runs some of those games.
And an interesting thing would be to look back over the years. Teams that have been hugely successful, won the World Series, they've all had that.
It happens.
Yeah. In 162 games, even in 154 game seasons, they had losing streaks like that.
I would
and still
venture
were
to guess
successful.
The 27 Yankees probably even had a losing streak.
Sure they did.
But you gotta give Atlanta and Pittsburgh credit.
They pitched well.
Yeah, they weren't playing the Marlins
and
Astros.
They took those series like a playoff series. When's the last time you've seen Pittsburgh as packed as what it was?
Well, it's been a long time. Well, I thought the same thing in Atlanta. When they were there in Atlanta, they were announcing 50,000 people for all the games. I thought, whoa.
Yeah.
And think of the Braves, they had a lot. And it's easy, like, you can go back and you can make, quote-unquote, excuses, and you can go back and you kind of look at maybe what's the reason for what happened. But think about just what happened. The Cardinals have the best record in baseball. They go into Atlanta, a place where last year they went in that one-game playoff, knocked them off, and ended badly for the Braves with the infield fly that shouldn't have been from the Atlanta perspective. The year before, the Cardinals caught them 10 games back in August, caught them, passed them, kept Atlanta
on the last day of the
season. And then won the World Series.
Yeah.
So from the Braves' perspective, the Cardinals are the measuring stick.
Yeah.
You know, this is a chance for Atlanta to prove that they're as good as they think they want to be, that they can do what they want to do, and that is go into the playoffs and actually have some success. So they've got the Cardinals on their home turf, weekend series, the crowd show up. Cardinals didn't play bad in that series. If you think about it, I mean, they didn't get
good
blown out.
Good pitching always stops good hitting.
Mm-hmm. You know, Adam Wainwright got beat the first night, gave up a hit to the pitcher. Happens. Baseball happened.
Yeah.
Second game Saturday was 0-0 in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the Atlanta series and you listen to the Atlanta ball club, they're a very good ball club, but they're also a ball club that's got a lot of guys on there. You say, who's this guy? You know,
that's right.
But all of a sudden, they've put it together and they're playing well.
Atlanta's one of those teams when they're playing well, they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
But if they're off a little bit, I mean, they're there for the taking. And they were on that weekend.
Yeah.
And you never like to get swept, but, you know, it was what it was. And then you go into Pittsburgh, and how I sum up the four games they lost in Pittsburgh is simple: Matt Holliday.
Although his batting average for that series was very good.
He had some nice C&Iers through the right side. They were
there were incidents.
But I, yeah.
Yeah, there was an incident.
To put it in your terms, Tim, there were a few incidents.
That's right.
Well, and
that's
you
right.
know,
and we can go by it incident by incident,
yes,
too.
You
yeah.
can, you watch Holiday and you see him do these things in the outfield and you think, well, you know, I'm glad he's up to par. He's playing his usual great defense out there.
I like Matt Holiday.
Yeah.
He seems like a generally
good
person, awesome guy, seems like good family man. You don't hear about any off-the-field troubles. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But professional sports is a results-oriented business. And let's just go over Matt Holiday's results. Game one of the doubleheader. You've lost, what is it, four in a row at this point.
Right.
Okay? Offense isn't going well. You get the first two on. Holiday, got a base hit through the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Nice approach.
Yeah.
First and second, one out. Beltran laces the line drive into right field, right center field. Great diving catch by McCutcheon. Where's Holiday going? Doubled off to end the inning. Thread over. Where are you going?
Yeah.
He's going nowhere. So we get into the 11th inning of the game. First and third, one out. Game on the line. Hits the ball hard, but right at the shortstop, grounds into an inning double play. Where's the C&I through the right side?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere to be found with the game on the line. Then, the nightcap of the doubleheader.
Oh, God.
Out to left field he goes. Pulled the Jose Canseco. Has the ball go off his glove over the wall for a home run. All right. You know what? Hustling back. Made an effort for it. Didn't happen. No big deal. Very next batter. Hits a ball to left field. Holiday always got it. He's tracking it. Back at the wall. Holiday crashes into the wall at the same time as the ball, but Holiday missed it by about 4 feet to his left. He's played left field his whole life. You know, I can understand missing a ball. It happens. You know, I mean, it's not easy to track a fly ball, but he's been a major league outfielder his whole life. But how can you not even be lined up to it? How can it be off to your side by that number of feet?
Wind?
It was the lights.
I don't know. Yeah, how can you not be lined up with the ball? It looked so funny with just him and the ball literally crashing into the wall at the same time. It was like a swimming race.
Well, first and foremost,
who can hit the wall first?
The Cardinals pay him to hit.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't get him
well,
for his defense.
And then, with all that in mind, after all that, the next night, what does he do? Hits a line drive to right field, hits it hard. He's in his home run trot. He ends up going off the top of the wall. He gets a single when he should have been standing on second base. It's not like he hit the ball. If you hit the ball 500 feet, hey, watch it.
Yeah.
But when you hit a line drive the height of the wall that may or may, if it gets out, it's going in the first row.
Mm-hmm.
Could you not jog to first base and stare at it? Could you please run out? After all he did, after all the mistakes that he made, to not hustle is unbelievable to me. And I like Matt Holiday.
Well,
I like him. But he does stuff on the baseball field that just boggle the mind. And I don't care what anybody says. He is not clutch. If the game was on the line, please, God, do not let Matt Holiday anywhere near the plate.
Yachty, where are you?
Yachty, where are you? You know, if it's 6-0 in the ninth inning, hey, he's great. You know, but if it's 3-2, winning a run on third base or second base, you know, time to run at third.
Remember the phrase Dr. Strange Glove?
I remember what was it? The series the Dodgers eliminated the Cardinals in. And Holiday dropped the fly ball, and his excuse was it was the lights, and then he lost the ball from the lights into the rally towels.
Yeah.
They had. And
what was that? Yeah, it was at LA. It was his first season there. It hit him in the man zone.
Private area.
Yeah. And that basically was just kind of the introduction, like, oh, this is what we have to look
forward
to. He's just a terrible outfielder. And that's all there is to it. And, you know, as a Cardinal fan, if you can't call a spade, then, I don't know what to do. But he's no good.
It's always a circus when the ball goes in the air to left field. You're right.
It is.
It is.
How many, you know, last year that infield, the sacrifice fly.
Oh.
The infield fly rule. Holiday.
Oh,
would you take charge? It happened in the World Series then, too.
Yeah. Well, we had
Take
it just happen
charge.
2 weeks ago.
Yes, it
on
happened.
The ball that dropped in. So,
yeah,
I will give him credit, though, for one thing. I went to a photo game a couple years back. Jennifer Graham and I went to a game. And it so happened, Albert Pujols, Yachty, and a couple of them were walking in a group far away from the fans as possible. Matt Holiday comes walking around, gets close to the fence, shook every kid's
hand. He's a great guy.
And talked with him.
He's a great guy. I prefaced the whole conversation by saying he's a great guy. He does a lot in the community.
Yeah.
Cares about the fans.
Sure,
signs the autographs.
Sure.
He does great things. He does what you would hope a professional athlete would do when they make it big and make a lot of money. He gives back. He's a great person.
Yeah.
He's an awesome person.
We used to,
but he can't play left field. That's all I'm saying. He can't play left field.
He can't play any field.
No. He needs to be the DH. Alan Craig is an excellent left fielder.
He's an excellent athlete.
He's an excellent athlete, but you watch him play left field, he makes the plays. You know, he covers more ground than you would think he covers for his quote-unquote foot speed.
Right.
You know, and that guy's
Matt Holliday's like a bull in a china shop. Like, you know, like, I fear for John Jay's life and Pete Cosma's life. If they're on track of a fly ball with Matt Holliday coming,
there will be blood.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
They're red shirts. Right. They're red shirts.
It'd be like the cartoons where they're just completely smashed and flat, and you got to reinflate
What's
them.
What's that? You know, well, that used to be Pete Cosma.
What Tobin said, and it to me separates the great athlete from the soul runs, and going back to when the Brownies in St. Louis and having the opportunity to see guys like Ted Williams, Jody Maggio, Bob Feller, and those guys, and they were always out on the field an hour before the game signing autographs. That always stuck out in my mind. They walked from foul line to foul line, signing kids' autographs, shaking hands with people, and, you know, this I still remember
this.
Well,
was it Joe DiMaggio, you'll know this, Uncle Ralph, that talked about that a kid may see him that day, maybe the only time he ever sees a ball game, so he has to be in a good mood and be on his best behavior.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's every day for him, but for that kid, could be the only day.
That's right. And they sincerely believed this. And, you know, Joe DiMaggio didn't too much. He was more like the Stan Musial as far as his image. Ted Williams had a little devil-may-care attitude. But, buddy, he was out there signing autographs and shaking hands with people and taking pictures. And you remember that stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the thing that gets me scratching my head is catching a major league fly ball is obviously not easy.
No.
So what are you doing during batting practice? Are you out there shagging fly? I don't know.
That's what the pitchers do, I guess.
You know, I
probably in his case not because they didn't want him to get hurt.
Well.
And I remember being at the World Series in 06 and watching Chris Duncan drop two fly balls in right field. And Chris Duncan will adamantly admit that he wasn't very good.
No.
But you know what? He used to be a first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Played first base his whole life and had to move to the outfield because they had this little guy named Albert Pujols,
guy,
who manned first base. So Duncan had to move to the outfield, and he did the best he could, just like Holliday. Tried.
And he made no bones about it. He says, I'm not good. I'm in there for my bat.
But he always tried.
But
he had a legitimate excuse. He had never really tracked fly balls at the major league level. Matt Holliday has been a left fielder his whole life. That's all I'm saying. And I don't understand how he can be have as much trouble just catching the ball as he seems to have when he's played. And it's not like he plays right field sometimes, left field sometimes. So the angle's always the same. He's played left field his whole professional life.
Glasses.
You need something.
A little contact.
A lot of,
seriously.
You know, and a lot of athletes.
Might be a big help.
Yeah.
A lot of athletes, when they come up, they're not very good, but they make themselves better. But Holliday has never been able to seem to be able to achieve this.
Right.
Well,
I don't
think about Matt Holliday. Let's be honest, though. Holliday, you can pretty much pencil in about a 285, 290 average.
Oh, yeah. He's going to hit that.
No, that's right. And I don't want to make this into like a Matt Holliday bashing thing, but just the way that those games at Pittsburgh worked out.
They were not his stellar games.
It was on display everything. The base running, the defense, and the hitting is what it is. It was all right there. In one day, two games, one day, all of it.
The wheels
right
have not fallen off the Matt Holliday wagon. They were a little wobbly.
They were a little
though.
Wobbly.
They could have used a little WD for it.
And he had a nice ball game last night. You know,
yes,
had
he
a
did.
Big walk. And that's what good ball clubs do.
That's
they put it behind them.
That's right.
They move forward. And
good ball players.
And good ball players. That's I mean, the Cardinals, to me, they're still the best team in the National League, certainly. Maybe all baseball. But I don't see enough American League games to really know, but they're the best team in the
National
League.
That if you go around and you say, okay, name me one team you do not want to play in the playoffs, Cardinals would probably have to be up there near the top of the
list. I would say so.
I would think.
They and the A's.
The Dodgers are moving up that list rapidly.
Yeah, but, you know, the Dodgers, now they've been on an upward climb, but how long are you going to sustain that?
True, but if you're talking playoffs, though, they got Kershaw and Greinke.
Well, Greinke to me is a bum.
Well, in the playoffs, yes, you're right.
And on the road.
You're right.
I'd give you the
credit. I hope he pitches at Bush Stadium because
you're right.
They'll beat his brains
when the pressure's
off.
The thing that impresses me about the Cardinals is their depth.
That's right. Yeah.
I think they got the depth that the other teams, even Pittsburgh, the Dodgers, whoever you want to name, don't have. They just don't have the depth. The guys on the bench that can come in and get the job done.
Matt Adams.
Oh, but I'll go up to your point about the depth. How many teams with aspirations of winning the World Series would trade a left-handed reliever, Mark Szczepanski, for a low-A shortstop at the trade deadline? How many clubs have the depth to get rid of a guy like that? Because they just bring in a 22-year-old kid from AAA who's throwing 95.
Mere 95.
And they've achieved this over the years. This didn't happen overnight. Yep. They realized a few years ago, hey, if we're going to be winners consistently, we got to have a farm system.
Well, and this all took place as Jocketty was ousted and Mozeliak came in. And I remember on the sports show saying it's going to take a few years to get it established, but once it's established, it should be a model for – and it is. I mean, Oakland started for the most part. Oakland was in early on it with Billy Ball. I mean, they invested in some lower-level people, made some key trades, and it's just expanded from there. And the Cardinals have really poured everything now into their minor league system.
Yeah, but the Cardinals don't get trapped in that money ball.
No, they don't.
Cycle
they don't.
That they Oakland does. But in terms of, like, developing the minor leagues, my goodness, they've got a pipeline of talent.
Years ago, why were the Yankees successful years after year? Simple. There's farm system.
Well, another thing about the Yankees, Ralph, is that multiple players could play multiple positions and not lose anything.
That's right.
You know, it was not unusual for the Yankees to shift people from the infield to the outfield and vice versa because they were just natural baseball players and it was no big deal.
And you see that with Alan Craig this year. I mean, his ability to play either corner outfield spot gives the Cardinals so much flexibility.
And first base.
Terry, to add to your point, playoffs, teams I wouldn't want to play, Cardinals would be one. Oakland, I'll agree with you on that. I'd give, because Oakland's very good this year. Tampa's got a very tough pitching staff that would be very tough in that opening round.
I tell you what, I've watched Detroit a few times. They're a pretty tough ball club, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of good teams in baseball this year. But Detroit, they just seem to be... Like, they should be running away with that division. It seems to be closer than
Verlander
it should
or
be.
Let me just say this. If Molina's healthy.
That's the big X factor.
And there's a big X factor. But if he's healthy, that's the team you don't want to play.
That's right.
Yeah, because that'd be.
Because they become such a smart team.
Right. Well,
and it's incredible.
That's kind of the weird thing. Molina's probably the smartest player in the game. And the Cardinals were so stupid in the way that they handled that whole scenario. Because I remember, because it was my parents' anniversary, we went to that Cardinal game that day when they played the Marlins, and he was out. He had missed the Saturday and then missed that Sunday with the sore knee. It's where he couldn't even get down the baseline. They had an off day Monday. Two games with the Astros and the four games in Chicago, then the All-Star break. And I remember we had this conversation, Terry. I don't remember if we had it on the air or not, but we had
the conversation
a number
probably
of
off
times
the air, yeah.
About
why.
Just shut him down. It's the Astros and the Cubs and then the All-Star break. You shut him down that week. He misses the All-Star game, and you see where he's at coming back after the All-Star break. They didn't do it. No. He played in all but one of those games closing out, starts the All-Star game, and then comes back and plays every game of the second half to start. Why? Why? They even acknowledged that he was going to need more time off, that the knee was bulky. They said they were going to give him more time off. The problem is they didn't do it. And now look at it. He's on the DL. Look what they did
now. Well, and I suspect Yachty probably talked himself into the lineup.
Of course he did.
And, you know, and to Mike Matheny's credit, he knows how much better they are with Molina in there. But he also has to take a step back and say, look, we've got, 60 games to go.
It's no different than managing your bullpen. You can't Trevor Rosenthal every day just because he tells you he feels good.
Right.
Of course, Molina, you don't want a guy who says, you know, Skip, I think I need a blow today. I'm a little tired. I don't think, I know you want me to play, but I don't think I can go. That's not a championship player.
Right.
Yachty's a championship player. Yeah. Of course he's going to say he can go. He wants to play every day.
Not today.
A professional coach, no matter the sport, that's what they get paid to do.
Yeah.
Manage the talent. Make sure the talent doesn't get run into the ground. He did it last year with Beltran.
Yeah.
He's learned his lesson this year, giving him more days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how they didn't give him just the rest of that week off.
Because it was such a perfect time. It would have been perfect time.
Perfect. You're playing lower division clubs. Then you got a whole week off with no games. I don't get it.
And Matheny has come out and said that he has gone to Yachty several times during that stretch and say, hey, I'm thinking about put, and Yachty has automatically.
Of course
said,
he has, but that's where you don't go to him and say, I'm thinking about it. You say you go to him and say, you're not playing today.
You're not playing today.
Or you're not playing tomorrow. You let him know the night before. Yeah. Tomorrow, you're not playing. I don't care how you feel. Yeah. You need a blow.
And let's tip our cap to Tony Cruz, who's done yeoman's work here in Molina's absence and actually has looked pretty good.
You can always see.
I was just going to say that's tough to do when you're a Tony Cruz or whoever you are, when you're the backup catcher, and you come in there and have to play day after day after day for 10 days or whatever. You know, it's tough because you're not used to it. You're not used to doing that.
You could see the talent in very small spurts when he would get a start. You could tell he's a very good defensive catcher. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see if he can get a little bit of an offensive swing going with consistent playing time.
You would hope.
You know, he's probably one of those guys. He could start. He could be a starting catcher on a lot of clubs, you know, like the quote-unquote, like, lesser clubs.
Yeah.
You know, he could be a starting catcher on those teams. But he's a backup to the best catcher in the game.
But he doesn't have to hit a lot the rest of that lineup.
That's right.
You know, you can hide him down there seventh or eighth, and he doesn't have to hit a lot with the rest of the guys that's in that lineup. You know, and you talk about ball players. This past week, thumbing through the channels one night. I forget who the Yankees was playing, but it was the ninth inning, and they brought Rivera in. He struck out the side. Here's a guy, 43 years old.
How much
he that ball up there?
And Ralph, you know what's
95 miles.
Ralph, and you know what's coming. You know exactly what he's going to throw.
Fastball.
Every time he's going to throw the same thing, and you can't hit it.
94, and them guys tapping their bat down and walking back to dugout and this guy's going to retire.
Going to retire, thank going out God. On top. Did you see, I guess, when he's been going to the different parks for the last time, he's been getting a gift. I think it was Minnesota. They gave him a rocking chair, but made out of broken bats
yes.
that he had broken over the years. Like, that is pretty cool.
That is really cool. That is really cool. And baseball will certainly miss his talent. Mm.
Yeah, they will.
Because no matter how good or bad the Yankees have been as a team, he's always been
One of those guys, he's done it the right way. Yes, he's one of the most respected. Him and Jeter are probably the two most respected players in the game.
First ballot Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Right. Both of them.
And but you were talking about earlier, Uncle Ralph, the Yankees during those championship years having the farm system. Well, Jeter, Rivera were both homegrown guys, and Posada.
Oh, yeah.
Pettit.
Yeah.
You know, there's your core, your championship right there. And then they've gotten away trying to buy championships. And that's kind of what you see with the Cardinals right now, this young core from 2011. You know, Dallin Craig doing what he did, Yachty being there.
Yeah,
I think that was Rivera's 36th save that night. He's 43 years old, and he's only got 36 saves.
That's it.
But, you know, and he's making a smart decision because he knows that he's going to be going out on top.
That's right.
And one of the toughest things to see is a ball player whose skills are so diminished that it hurts to watch him.
Yeah.
No matter the sport. The sport.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be a hard thing to come to grips with to know when it's time to walk away because you've played your whole life. It's all you've ever done.
Yeah.
And you know what? I guess you have to go until, I would think, until you can't go anymore. You know, I would think the reason you see so few athletes do what Rivera's doing, and that is leaving when they still have something left in the tank, because it's hard to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you leave and then you still got the fire – it's going to be hard to come back. But if you go and just go until the fire's out, you're going to wind up maybe, you know, fizzling out.
Being satisfied with your performance.
You will have known that physically you just can't do it anymore. To be able to walk away physically knowing that you can still do it, that takes a certain type of individual to do that. So hats off to Rivera.
But he knows the odds are against him.
Sure.
As the calendar passes. Yeah,
he's 43 years old.
Shagging flies in batting practice.
Yeah. By next spring, who knows, you know. And, hats off. And I hope he's made the decision. I hope he sticks with it.
And to walk away from the Yankees makes it especially hard, too, because, you know, that they're tossing a Brinks truck at it. Let's come back for one more year, Mo. One more year.
That ain't going to happen.
No.
Not going to happen, boys.
Everybody's got their price, though, right?
Well,
it may be a big number. But everybody's got it.
He's made some pretty good change.
Everybody
he's
has
made
their
some
number.
Change, but if
put
if
it this way, I don't think he would have done this without the Yankees' blessing. Let's just be honest. Front office blessing. Yeah, they want him back.
At the time,
we're going to give you some more money. But look, guys, I've decided to step away. Please respect it.
I could totally see them agreeing with that, and then I could totally see at the end of the year too. You know, Mo, I know you said you're retiring, But I got this $30 million. It's just kind of, it's weighting me down. I don't know what to do with it. You know, like, I'm gonna spend it on something. Do you want it? Would
just
you
a
like
mere
it?
$30 million.
Would you like this $30 million? I don't know.
Anything's possible.
Be hard, yeah. But it'd be hard to walk away from that, would it not?
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
of course,
it'd be hard.
$30 million means a heck of a lot more. Even if you've made $30 million,
if you've made $150 million over your life, that's a lot of money. Yeah. But $30 million is still $30 million. It's like, 1 year of work, $30 million? Well, why not?
But is it up here?
Right. And once you're done,
is it in the noggin?
Once you're done upstairs, it's over.
And that's where I think he's figured he's getting
probably
to that
is.
Point.
Yeah, and you could tell, when you watch a lot of ball games and stuff, you could tell when he took the mound that night, he said, "Boys, I'm out here to shut you down, and that's just what I'm going to do."
Mm-hmm. And more times than not, he did it. Yeah, in the biggest stage. So,
and baseball is such a mentally fatiguing sport; it can wear on you because it's based so much about how much you fail, as opposed to how much you succeed.
And you see so many relievers get hurt now with elbow injuries. Yeah. I don't think he's ever had an arm injury. No. All those years.
He's been pretty fortunate.
But I guess, like you said, throws one pitch, just throws it really, really well.
Well, that's probably a good point to make that, why mess with number two?
Right.
If you can beat me, beat me.
I'm going to throw you my
pick. Here it comes.
When number one's that good, why throw number two?
Yeah.
Bruce Sutter had the
split.
The split?
Yeah.
Rivera's got the cutter.
Yeah.
Very successful with
it. Here it comes, boys. Good luck.
Have fun.
And by the way, I throw a fastball just every once in a while.
And getting back, Tim, to what you just said about Rivera, and you look at his stats and the record he has set, boy, he's been pretty phenomenal over the years. He really has.
Well, he's an all-timer.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, first ballot Hall of Famer. It will be.
Yeah, actually, next year there actually will be some baseball players to get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Of course, this year it was the big squadoosh.
Yeah.
With all the steroid guys on there.
Man. And I said this morning on 730 Sports there towards the end that how will baseball look at this era? Because the Hall of Fame is full of people who have cheated over the years. That's true.
In some capacity.
In some capacity. So will it take a generation or two for this to pass before they look back on a veterans committee and say,
Well, there's been renewed debate, it seems, the last couple of weeks about Pete Rose and his Hall of Fame legitimacy. Here's the question. What happens first? Steroid guys, Bonds, McGuire, Clemens go in, or Pete Rose goes, which happens first, or does neither happen?
The day after Pete Rose dies, he's in the Hall of
That's
Fame.
What I think happens, personally.
I think that's what happens.
Now, Donnie
I
Downs.
I don't think they will give him the satisfaction of knowing he's in the Hall of Fame while he's alive.
I agree.
I just think that's the way they're going to work.
I totally agree, and I don't think he should have that satisfaction. So. But Donnie Downs, diehard Reds fan, swears up and down, and I trust him on Reds matters because he's a huge Reds fan, that Pete Rose has told his family to turn it down.
Really?
That he doesn't want inducted after he's gone. That's what Donnie Downs says, and I believe him. Well, when it comes to Reds, he knows it. But I've always thought that because Pete Rose was such one of the greatest hitters, probably the greatest hitter of all time with all the hits, deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for his accomplishments. But Pete Rose, the person, such an egomaniac, doesn't deserve the satisfaction of standing up there and reveling in his own greatness and the fact that – because he'll look at it as, I beat baseball.
Yeah.
I won.
Yeah.
I won. Yeah. He doesn't deserve that because what he did, awful. You know, he'd say, I never betted my team to lose. No. But did you burn your bullpen out trying to win that day because you had money on the line and then you were toast the next day and then I'm not going to bet today.
Yeah.
You know, how many times did that happen? Mm-hmm. So what he did, he doesn't deserve the satisfaction. But accomplishment-wise, like you said, day after he's gone, there you go. Hold the funeral there.
You know,
bury him there. Who cares?
You look at his record, he's got some pretty fabulous numbers, too.
Charlie Hustle.
Yeah.
I mean, he played, and that's what's so sad about it. He played the game the way that you play the game when you're a kid. Hustled all the time. Slid everywhere. Gave it 110% every night. That's what you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what, you look at like the Mike Trouts and the Bryce Harper. They play hard all the time. Yeah. That's what you want, this Yasiel Puig hustling all over the diamond. Mm-hmm. If everybody played like that all the time, it'd be such a much better game.
And the thing of it is, not everybody has that ability to play like
right.
that.
That's right. It's a skill.
It's a skill.
Charlie Hustle had the skill.
Yes, yes, he did. It's just a whole different ball of wax. It really is. So
he made his bed.
Yes, he did.
And he probably sealed it when he sold his confession for $19.95 in his book.
When he wrote the book, that might have been the padlock that locked the door.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Bud's probably using that book to even out a coffee table somewhere in the commissioner's office. We need a break. Sports Saturday back in just a moment.
Stay cool this summer with farmer-owned Prairie Farms fruit drinks in orange, grape, lemon, pink lemonade, and fruit punch. And for extra vitamin C, drink 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice, available in convenient plastic pints. And don't forget Prairie Farms sweetened iced tea, very refreshing, and available in gallon jugs and plastic pints for those of us on the go. Stay cool and refreshed this summer, and taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
If you have a sports-related injury, give Teamwork Rehab a call. Teamwork Rehab's athletic trainers are licensed, certified, and there for you. Teamwork Rehab provides athletic training services for Hillsboro and Nokomis student-athletes, keeping them safe, healthy, and in the game. They are also offering injury screening for all area athletes and weekend warriors. Teamwork Rehab has 3 convenient locations in Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160. Trust Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsborough Area Hospital, to get you back in the game.
And at 9:49, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for some showers. Expect a high of around 80 degrees. Partly cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. We'll have the low of around 60 degrees. And into Sunday, sunny skies. Expect a high Sunday of around 78 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies Monday and Tuesday. There is a chance for some rain on Wednesday. Expect highs to be in the low 80s. The lows will be in the mid-60s. And at 9:49, we have a temperature reading of 75 degrees. The weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:51, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinot, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday. Cardinal baseball for you tomorrow from Cincinnati. 11:15 pregame start time on WUSMI AM 1540. And we started the show by saying that 4 weeks from today, we will have week one high school football scores. And hard to believe that high school football, and really, once football starts, that just means a brand new high school sporting season
is
underway. And after that, we'll be off and rolling. And before we know it, we'll be talking about the Christmas tournament at Carlinville. Then it'll be basketball regional time, and all of a sudden, baseball's going on, and then it's summer. It goes that fast.
You know, it literally seems to go that fast, and that's why it's important to allow the moment to slow down so you can enjoy it.
I'm so ready for cool fall Friday nights. Mm-hmm. Stands are packed. The national anthem's playing, and kickoff's about to come. Just love those high school football Friday nights. Everyone the towns get so excited. It's just mm-hmm. so much fun.
It's an event.
It's an event.
You know, it's beyond just the game. It's a social gathering, and that's one of those special moments. fortunately, you know, when you're talking about high school, and coming up here in a couple weeks, we're going to have Matt Trohall from the Illinois High School Association. The football playoffs have moved this year. The championship has moved to DeKalb out of Champaign, yeah. So we'll talk about that a little bit. But every once in a while, you'll see something, comment on the internet concerning, well, maybe high school, maybe school districts ought to do away with sports in school and make everything a club team. And, you know, of course, high school associations will counter that, and they say there's 7.6 million reasons that that's not a good idea, and they're all called students. You know, I think it's education just of a different kind, and we've talked about it before on this sports show. What a disservice it would be to lose interscholastic sports, because it does mean a lot to our community. It does mean a lot to our kids. And, you know, certain sports get more attention than others, but, you know, there are always kids that play in sports that don't have much fan appeal, only because of time of day and that sort of situation. But they're tickled to be able to participate. It's about participation. It's about learning to expand your horizons, learning to do something you haven't already done. And you know, you take that out of the school, and then you talk about different situations where if it's a club and somebody's got the purse strings, well, you know, you're pretty much going to do what the purse strings say.
School pride would go away.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a truly, uniquely American thing.
Club really
is.
Club sports are great for summertime.
Well, for the non-high school season.
Right. You know, it's perfect for that. But, yeah, if you take it away out of the school, it's completely different. You're not to me, you won't have the same energy.
No.
Those Friday nights, football Friday nights, they wouldn't be the same.
Oh, no.
Oh, goodness, it wouldn't be the same. It'd be different.
Yeah.
I think you lose the cohesiveness in your community with the schools and the players and the fans. You know, there's a cohesiveness.
Well, yeah, I mean, you
just got like you just said, you go football Friday night, the bleachers are full, they're standing along the sidelines. What can be better?
You know, and if you go, you know, and it's not going to happen, but it's just, you know, it's interesting to talk about. But if you went to a club thing, maybe you got 15 people from Hillsborough on one club team, 15 people on a different club team, you know, 12 on a different one.
So where are your loyalties?
Where's the loyalty?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where's the atmosphere?
Yeah.
It's gone. That's what makes high school sports
truly
so
American.
Great. That's why they're fabulous. Yeah. Why it's Americana.
Yeah, it is. It's
town pride.
It is a huge, huge part of Americana. And you know, sports sometimes gets a black eye from some people who look at things. And no matter what you do, there's always a hitch in the get along sometimes. But look at the you know, when millions and millions of student athletes are served, how can you question that? I mean,
the four towns that are in our legal ID, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Cronville, Greenville, go to any one of those towns on a Friday night during football season. The whole town's there.
Yeah.
That's where they're at.
You know, it's the thing.
Everyone else, everything's closed.
Yeah,
they're all there.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It's pretty spectacular. It's certainly a unique situation, and you know, we're just tickled to be able to be part of it.
It's a lot of fun
to do what we do on the radio. So.
And this football season to me is going to be very interesting, because the last few years we've had powerhouse teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Greenville's been a powerhouse for a number of years now. Carlinville was a powerhouse last year. I don't know that we're going to have the quote unquote powerhouse team. I don't know. That's just my opinion. You know, it's not like I'm out at practice watching all these different teams practice, but just looking from what teams were last year and kind of the seniors they lost, I think we're going to have great parity. I think there's going to be a lot of really good, entertaining football games this year. Is there going to be a great elite team? I don't know. But I think we're going to have a lot of really competitive games this fall.
All I know is that the 9 weeks of the high school football season pass so incredibly fast.
It's here and it's gone.
It's just almost like just taking a breath and it's gone.
It's the perfect length of time. I wouldn't want it to be a week long.
You know, really, it shouldn't be. You're right.
Perfect.
It's about the right, exact right length of for the season.
You know, the team by the time you play nine high school football games, you know who the good teams are.
Yeah.
They've separated themselves, and then the playoffs just work out perfectly. Yeah. It's the perfect length of season. It doesn't need to be any longer. It doesn't need to be any shorter.
Right.
It's just right.
Yeah. If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
That's right. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone, guys.
And you mentioned there are no more road to Champaign now. So that that will be different.
Yeah, that will be different.
That will be different. And, of course, it's not the end of the world. People thought it was the end of the world when the basketball tournament moved to Peoria. It's worked out great.
Yeah.
It'll be fine at the Cal. Yeah. It'll be different. And you've mentioned it before, Taryn. I think you're exactly right. it'll probably be better from an atmosphere standpoint.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because Memorial Stadium held...
It's a big place.
60,000 people full.
There was maybe one section, half of one
half,
section
half of
full.
One section full. Yeah. So you lose a lot of the what you get on Friday nights at home,
yeah,
or even on the road. You lose that closeness with the fans and everything. And I don't know anything about the stadium at DeKalb at NIU, but I assume it's probably not quite as big as the Memorial Stadium.
It's a normal size.
You know, it's a college stadium, and probably will be just perfect for it.
Be perfect.
So. What caused the move, though?
The realignment of the Big Ten Conference.
Oh, okay.
U of I no longer is available.
Yeah. Scheduling conflicts.
Yeah. Well, they play more games now.
They've got more games, yeah.
In all
they got more games to lose there for the Fighting Illini.
Thank goodness basketball's on the way for the Illini.
Yeah.
So,
we got to be careful because our new Ag lady is from the University of Illinois.
That's right. And she's from DeKalb, strangely.
Yeah, she is from DeKalb.
But we used to always be able to joke that during the state championship weekend for football, hey, at least there's championship football at Memorial Stadium. Well, can't say that anymore.
Not anymore.
Whatever the 8A championship game was last year, that's the last championship caliber game that will ever be played at Memorial Stadium for the foreseeable future.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Fighting a line of football right around the corner.
Yeah.
How bad would they be this year? Embrace
They've already lowered prices on the tickets,
Tim. Of course
they
have. Don't get angry that they stink. Embrace the stinkiness. Own it.
They've lowered prices.
They stink. That's okay.
They're selling tickets in bulk.
Please come watch us play. Just embrace the badness. That way, when they win, you can really enjoy it.
We're terrible.
They stink.
Just
Terry.
Oh, the Illini hitmen are going to come get us.
You always talk about dealing in reality.
That's right. That's reality. That is reality. You're right.
Sports Saturday is out of time. For Tobin, Terry, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim.